Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. Trubisky to the 42-yard line. Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Cradlewood, too. He made it. He did it. Steamboat's like Russell. And Flair has done it. Flair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we broadcast live from our first Midwest Bank studio.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
On the program tonight, we will hear from Casey Joyner. He writes for ESPN.com, the WWE column on ESPN.com. Did you even know they had a WWE column? If you go there, that's where you can find Casey Joyner. You'll be able to hear from him coming up at 6:45, a special edition of Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. So if you don't have a wrestling fan, make sure they check in about 6:45 before SmackDown Live takes place. We have a short ride tonight because we're on until 7:40. Then we've got Notre Dame basketball right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hope that you enjoyed your Tuesday. Hope that you enjoy your Tuesday night as I lead you right into Notre Dame basketball right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Keep that phone number in mind. You're going to need it here. 312-332-ESPN is our telephone number. You know, I got to get myself in the mood here because as I look outside and it's dark and it's a little cold, I'm starting to think about baseball. I don't know about you, but I got a little baseball on my mind. And specifically, not just baseball, but
the Chicago White Sox. How about that?
All right. Two biggest words for you and I as sports fans is the words what, and the other one is if. What if someone would come to your favorite team? What if your team was to win a championship? What if that in an upcoming season, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, whatever that tickles your fancy, what if your favorite team made a move to get you closer to the championship? As you well know, the one thing that you and I both know is that all you want is two things as a fan. I know this is what I want as a fan. One thing is that you want to have sustained success with your favorite team. You're rooting for a team. You have a financial or emotional investment in a team. And so you want your favorite team to be able to be on the rung of the ladder that says we're in the playoffs every year with a chance at the brass ring, a chance for the championship. And the second thing is actually winning the championship. If you are a Bulls fan of a certain age, you remember what those championships were like. If you're a certain age, remember the Bears and their run to the Super Bowl and having that sustained success around the Super Bowl championship. Pretty cool. If you're a Cubs fan, it didn't take long, but the Cubs were able to finally win that World Series. And same thing with the White Sox. Out of nowhere, the White Sox were able to win a World Series. The Blackhawks, the same thing, is about that sustained success, struggling, and then all of a sudden getting in a spot where you win three Stanley Cup championships. Well, the what if for tonight on my program is what if Manny Machado signs with the Chicago White Sox? There's still question marks all over the place about where Manny Machado's going, where Bryce Harper's going, because those are two big names that comes to free agency in Major League Baseball. And I always have warm thoughts when we get to baseball, because that means that in April, May, the weather will break, and we can actually go to Guaranteed Rate or Wrigley Field or Miller Park, wherever your favorite team is, for baseball. Jeff Passan had this first from ESPN.com talking about Manny Machado, how the White Sox have an 8-year contract that's on the table to Manny Machado. As the sweepstakes for baseball's best free agents heat up, Manny Machado is sitting an 8-year offer from the White Sox. Now, before we even move on into this conversation, I've always said that if you're a baseball player, there's not one baseball player today or even in the past, one guy that can make a complete difference for a baseball team. Because more so than any other sport, because there's so many guys, you want to be able to have cornerstones. You can't have just one. You got to have multiple cornerstones because it is baseball, right? So when it comes to Manny Machado and 8-year deal, you're hoping that within the first five, the White Sox could be in a position or win the World Series championship. Here's looking at you, Anaheim Angels, signing Pujols to a 10-year deal. He's looking at you, Texas Rangers, for having Alex Rodriguez in a over $200 million contract. It's a ton for just one guy. There's a lot of pressure on that one guy. But when it comes to Manny Machado, he is a very, very special player. If you haven't seen him play, 7 years in Major League Baseball, 4 All-Star games, 2 Gold Gloves, a slash line of 282, 335, and 487, 175 homers and 513 RBIs, over 1,000 hits in his career. It's pretty special. And when you think of Machado's career, you know that the arrow could be pointing up, even in a White Sox uniform. Jeff Passan on a few days ago talking about where the Sox stand with Machado.
I think they're in a good position at this point, but I don't want to overstate that by any means, because to say the Philadelphia Phillies aren't right there with them, I think would be incorrect and disingenuous. And I know it has been portrayed as the Phillies are the clubhouse leaders on Bryce Harper and the White Sox are on Manny Machado, but I don't get the sense that it's quite so cut and dry at this point. And to say that the White Sox have a lot of interest in Manny Machado is very true. The question's going to be, when it is put up or shut up time, are the White Sox going to be willing to go the years and the dollars that it takes to get him? And the answer may very well be yes. They have played this extremely well so far, and they've been smart and judicious in the way that they've gone about it. But in the end, there's a big difference between the first 3 or 4 months of this and the last 24 to 48 hours.
Jeff Passan on with Cap and Company a few days ago. You can go in the archives, look for Cap and Company in his podcast as you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app on the ride home. One of my favorite sites to go to in sports, not just in baseball, but in sports, is baseballreference.com. And when you scroll down and you look for the numbers for Manny Machado, if you're a baseball guy, even if you're not, you might have heard these names before. Similar batters through 25 years of age. As I mentioned, Machado now at 26. So here's a similar batters through 25 years of age. His numbers equate to the following. Adrian Beltre, Ron Santo, Ronnie, tell me a little bit about this Manny Machado.
He's got a good fastball, Piat.
Andrew Jones, Ruben Sierra, Ryan Zimmerman, Bryce Harper, Cal Ripken Jr., Eric Chavez, Ken Griffey Jr., and Cesar Cedeno. What I just named for you is 3 Hall of Famers out of 10, and some very Hall of the Very Goods, actually, and some pretty solid players on that list I just gave you. But I think about what it could be, because the one thing that Bulls fans don't like is that we don't have any conversations about the Manny Machado of the NBA coming to the Bulls, because you and I both know that's not happening. But with the Cubs and the White Sox, and maybe the Hawks at some point again, and definitely with the Bears, we'll be talking about quality free agents coming to Chicago. We're a world-class city. This is my hometown. Of course we want to get the best. It's not about anywhere else except my epicenter as a Chicago sports fan, and that is here in the city, right? So I started thinking about this. As we see, the Bears are able via trade to get Khalil Mack. That's not quite necessarily free agents. But we've seen this with the Cubs, and we've seen this with the White Sox in the past, where the White Sox have always been that organization of trying to find players to be an attraction more so than a difference maker. If we get Ken Griffey Jr., maybe that'll click a few turnstiles, or Kevin Youkilis, or players of that ilk, long past their prime, but yet in a White Sox uniform. That's fine. But it's nothing like in free agency, in the prime of your career, to be able to have someone like either Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. And everything that we read here today coming up into our show is that looks like the Phillies are out of it when it comes to either Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. So I started thinking about this. And Eric, over the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. I want to ask you this question. Because if Machado does come to the White Sox, if he does put on the White Sox uniform, I start thinking about the best Chicago sports free agent signing ever in your lifetime and mine. And that includes the Bears or the White Sox or the Cubs or the Bulls or the Blackhawks. Is there someone in particular that you can think of that was the very best Chicago sports free agent signing ever? And how does that equate to Manny Machado coming to the White Sox? Now, I asked Jim Margulis from Sox Machine, who covers the White Sox with that podcast and their column they have for Sox Machine. I said, what does the lineup look like if Manny Machado comes to the White Sox?
It looks pretty good. A lot better than last year when you consider the upgrade. It moves Yolmer Sanchez to a utility spot, improves the defense on the left side, gives Rick Renteria more options in the middle infield. I think when it comes to the overall shape of the lineup, I think maybe Yoan Moncada maybe has more to do with it than anything else. Obviously, Machado is a big upgrade on the other guys they've had in the middle of the order, like Avi Garcia last year. But really, I think when it comes to shaping the lineup, Machado is one big piece and Moncada is the other.
I want you to think about it, this Cubs fans. Who is the best third baseman of your lifetime? Now, for me, even though Bill Matlock was here for a cup of coffee, if the Cubs were able to pay him, he would probably be one of the best that we've ever seen. Of course, in the modern day, it's Chris Bryant because of how smooth Chris Bryant is at third and also how versatile that Chris Bryant is, left, right, maybe a little center if you asked him to, definitely third base. Ron Say, very solid over at third base. But for the White Sox, if I asked you who's the best third baseman in White Sox history, immediately you'd give me Robert Ventura, but yet I would tell you that Machado has the ability to be even better than what Robin was, and Robin was pretty solid over at third base. That's how special this is. So I asked Jim Margulis the same question. He said,
I would say he's better. I don't think Ventura was really on a Hall of Fame track at any point just because he was a college player who started at an older age. Maybe Ventura in his prime, before the ankle injury, maybe Ventura's best season matchup with Machado's overall talent, but really could be the best third baseman they've ever had. But I think, a very good Robin Ventura year is at least the White Sox haven't had that in a long time.
So I went to the Facebook wall, facebook.com, Jonathan Hood, where, let's see, how many friends do I have? 4,999. So I need one more friend. Anybody wants to friend me on Facebook, they can. I have room for one more. One more for the in the Jonathan Hood Facebook page. So I asked a question, and I will ask you the question as well. Who was the best Chicago sports free agent signing ever? For the Bears, the Sox, the Cubs, the Bulls, or the Blackhawks. So on this list, Kevin is the first one to checked in. He said John Lester. And I think that is a good choice. I don't think that is the best choice. John Lester was really the epicenter of the Cubs starting their winning ways because that was ballsy for the Cubs to say, we are trying to win a championship, but we need to have starting pitching, so we're going to go with John Lester because Lester trusts Theo, and so we're going to go there. And that showed a commitment to winning, immediately getting John Lester on the team. And Lester is one of the best Cubs pitchers I've ever seen in my lifetime. So then from there, there's a number of other names that are on my Facebook wall. One of them was Dennis Rodman, but Dennis Rodman was traded to the Bulls. That's not necessarily a free agent list, but there's a number of other ones. Eric, do you have a couple? Because there's a long thread on my Facebook wall.
Yeah, a couple. A lot of people have said Marian Hossa because he brought the cups to the Hawks. That's definitely one of them on the top of the list. Akeem Hicks. Pro Bowler Akeem Hicks is on the list right here. Thomas Jones for the Bears. Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers is fine. But again, we're looking for the very best. I think those are good choices. But there's a couple other ones, too. We're going to get your phone calls here. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. I'll get to some of these other names in just a moment. I just want to go on this track as well when it comes to Manny Machado. Because to me, I think that Machado's in a position where he could help the White Sox. And he could be that John Lester and the guy that starts things for the White Sox in the right way. Because as I asked Jim Margulis from Sox Machine, if other moves are made, you know, what does this say for Machado? If the other moves Sox made important for Machado Chase, he says this.
Yeah, it's really weird. I'm not really a fan of the Alonso acquisition. I think he's better, you know, given his plate discipline is better than Daniel Paul, because I think he provides a higher floor for that DH spot, for the backup first base spot. But, you know, some of his underlying numbers and you know, how he hit 23 homers but only 19 doubles. He's never had 50 extra base hits in a season. I'm not really buying, you know, the kind of DH production from him. So I think when it comes to him and John Jay is, I think, given his defense, given that the White Sox didn't have a good defensive corner outfielder in the majors and they provide some plate discipline, you know, he provides some skills and $4 million is not a bad use for him. But really when it comes to, you know, just these talents and how they have kind of low ceilings but also maybe higher floors, they don't really do anything to change the picture. So I think, you know, they're in an awkward spot to where if the White Sox somehow didn't land Machado, you just have these kind of remnants of the Machado chase and how it didn't work out. And I think they would just kind of stick with them and it would be somewhat of an anticlimactic or, you know, just a weird White Sox existence for a year. But I think if Machado, you know, hangs around and they stick and he's happy and everybody's happy, I think those moves will explain themselves. So when it comes to their, you know, those two players, Machado basically settles it. The bullpen additions, I like, you know, Colome and Herrera. I think they needed those kind of proven right-handed arms to allow guys like Ian Hamilton, Zach Birdie, and so forth room to develop without collapsing in save situations.
So thoughts there from Sox Machines, Jim Margulis, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. What if
the Chicago White Sox? How about that?
That's the two big questions that we have. What ? That Manny Machado comes to the White Sox? How big is that move? How do you compare that to other free agent signings for Chicago? Now I'm going to give you one that I thought that really stands out to me, and that is Andre Dawson with the Cubs. In 1987, and watching Andre Dawson be one of the few black players that played in Montreal with Warren Cromartie and Tim Raines in the outfield for the Expos, here comes Andre Dawson, 1987, tells the Cubs, here's a blank check, just whatever you want to pay me, pay me. No, I don't know anyone else that did that. But Dawson was a difference maker and still beloved with this Cubs organization. In 87, he won the MVP on a last place team. That's how great Andre Dawson was. And he meant a lot to the city because the Cubs weren't going anywhere, but Dawson was must see. So that is a name that comes to mind as well. That was Tab Bamford mentioned that on my Facebook wall, Facebook.com. Dan also checking in with that. Peter also saying Andre Dawson. So there's some interesting names. I want you to add onto the list here because I'm just trying to figure out how you look at Machado, that type of player. The talent is already there through 7 years. Now, how do you compare that to what you think might be the best of the best when it comes to free agent signings in Chicago sports? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Matt is in Northbrook with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hello, Matt. Is Matt there? Matt is not there. Instead, we will try Tom in Crown Point, Indiana on ESPN 1000. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well.
You guys finally got around to picking the best one.
Who's you guys and which one is the best one?
Andre Dawson. He gave the Cubs a blank check. Didn't they sign him for like $400,000 in like 87 or 88? Then he won the MVP. The only thing that kept him short was he hurt his knee going into the 89 playoffs, and then they came up short against San Francisco.
Yeah, there must be an echo in here. Yes, all of that. Andre Dawson is a great choice by you. I should have thought of that. Appreciate your phone call. Leaves line open. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. You guys continues with Harwood Heights. Here's Dimitri on ESPN 1000. Hi, Dimitri.
What's up, buddy?
What's
big
up?
Fan of the show.
Thank you.
One thing we got in common. Well, two things. Sox fans, and I'm an IMS guy. This is really cool. Actually, a former student of Eric's over there.
Great. That's awesome.
I got to tell you, as a Sox fan, being 20 years old, I can't think of a free agent signing right now that I'm really happy with. But I can tell you this.
Right.
I remember the night the White Sox signed Adam Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
I was ecstatic. I was jumping up and down, going on the phone with my buddies back and forth. And years later, I regret every excitement I put into that. I regret the jersey I bought. I regret everything.
Come on. You didn't know he was going to be that bad. You had no idea. I mean, hey, listen, it was a good signing at the time until he just, you know, didn't know how to hit the fastball anymore. He was brutal.
I mean, it was great. I mean, granted, we had the one All-Star year. But past that, he was a dud.
Yeah, no.
But I think I would be a lot more excited if the Sox signed Machado than I ever was for anything that the White Sox have done in free agency. But I think the biggest key is now, what are they going to do after that?
Well, that's the thing. I think that you have to take it one step at a time. Because here's how I look at the White Sox. Sox were 62-100 last year. If they get Machado in 2020, they should be able to start turning the corner. And I'm not saying about playoffs, but when you have so many young players, and I know that they're suspects before they're prospects, but there's so much promise in the minor league system. I cannot wait to see Eloy Jimenez playing every day to find out what he can do. There's so many other young players on this thing. But the thing is that we can talk about all these young players all day. I'm not just going to go through all the minor league players for you, because no matter which players you're going to bring up, Rick Renteria is still the manager, and that's a problem for me. You cannot move forward and believe that you're going to turn the corner as a franchise if Renteria is still the manager. Sorry. I mean, A to B manager, you got to get Joe Girardi. You just have to. If Joe's not going to manage again here in 19, that has to be something the Sox have to look at. Because just as the Cubs were able to get Joe Madden out of his deal with Tampa, you got to get the sure thing. And you got to find yourself a veteran manager who knows how to win, and that guy is available, so the Sox should be looking at him once they're ready to turn the corner. I would hate for a Girardi-type manager to go to some other ball club, and the White Sox are stuck with Rick Renteria, or saying, you know what's best, we're going to call up Mark Grudzielanek out of the minor league system. No, just get the sure thing. Because if you're going to get the short thing in Machado and you have these young players, you got to get a manager that can manage them. I don't need a manager when the team starts to get good that's just bunting and sacrificing their way to 5-2 losses. If I wanted Ned Yost to manage the ball club, I'd get him a Sox uniform. Enough of that. That small ball benching kids because you don't think they're playing the right way, that old 1975 nonsense. Let those kids recreate and be fun and get butts in the seats at guaranteed rate. That's what it's about. And so all these young players, once they're called up, you got to get someone that can manage them. And Rick's not that guy. Got to move on. Got to go to somebody else. That's a sure thing. So that way you're starting to get where you want to be in the American League Central. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number as we ask you the question about free agency in Chicago sports. Bears, Sox, Cubs, Bulls, Hawks. We mentioned Marian Hossa. We got a couple of the Sox and Cubs nominations as well. We want you to chime in because if Manny Machado comes to the White Sox, is he going to be the biggest signing that Chicago sports has seen in quite some time or ever? That's what we're talking about here. It's still to come. If you're a wrestling fan, we've got Casey Joyner from the WWE column on ESPN.com. We'll talk to him before SmackDown. SmackDown airs every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We're going to get his thoughts about the state of wrestling. So if you know a wrestling fan, make sure they tune in coming up at 6:45 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. More of your phone calls coming up. Getting your thoughts because Machado, oh, he could be coming. Oh.
The Chicago White Sox. How about that?
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.
Yo, it's time for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
This is a big rich town. I just come from the poorest part. Bright light city life. I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
I just happen to come up hard.
I never took a straight path.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'd like to remind you of the Under the Hood podcast. Look, you're driving home right now, right? Maybe you don't get a chance to hear my show weeknights from 7 to 10, but you can catch the podcast wherever you download your podcast with iTunes, Apple Podcasts, as well as SoundCloud, TuneIn app. Wherever you download your podcast, look for my name, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. That way you never miss an episode. Download it into your device. And don't forget, 5 stars in review if you're doing it on iTunes. We appreciate you checking out the broadcast. The reason why we're on now instead of 7 o'clock is because we've got Notre Dame basketball right here on ESPN 1000. Our coverage starts at 7:40 right here on ESPN 1000. So that's why I'm here talking to you about Manny Machado and free agency. And still to come, I'll get your thoughts about the NBA. I got something Bulls related for you this half hour. And Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday as well. If you know of a wrestling fan, make sure they tune in this half hour. Some thoughts from KC Joyner regarding the WWE and also All Elite Wrestling that has made its way around the wrestling circles because the owners of the Jacksonville Jaguars now want to run a wrestling company. Okay, we'll talk about that coming up at 6:45 right here on ESPN 1000. If you're just joining us, we're talking about free agency and not just with Manny Machado with the White Sox. If this happens, again, that's still a question mark that's on the table. We're talking about the best Chicago sports free agent signings ever. Bears, Sox, Cubs, Bulls, Hawks. So I want to get your thoughts at 312-332-ESPN. We've had some nominations early. You know, we mentioned Marian Hossa. We've mentioned a number of solid choices. Hossa's right up there. John Lester's up there as well. We mentioned the White Sox or Carlton Fisk. So some good names up there. We want you to chime in as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Free agents. The best free agents that Chicago sports have ever had. And how does that relate to the possibility of Manny Machado coming to the White Sox? Hello, Tim.
Hey, Jay. Love the show.
Thank you.
All right. So I was thinking about Ron Harper as one of the top free agents. What do you think about that?
Where would the Bulls be without Ron Harper, right, in his defense? It was already a solid team, but he just solidified that defense, didn't he?
I agree.
There's a guy there. I like the choice of Ron Harper for sure. Now, here's the thing. The Bulls would have still, I think, won those championships. But Jordan was able to get one of his buddies from the Cavs because Jordan would take on Harper in those Bulls-Cavs rivalry games. And Harper was a tremendous defender, and he was great for those championship teams. It's a good call. Thank you so much for checking in. He leaves line open for you, 312-332-ESPN. Elmwood Park, here's Joe with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? I love the show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem. I was just calling. I don't think it's a matter of, like, what they did success-wise for us, but I'd say Albert Bell was probably about as big as it got for at the time when he was signing, because he was, like, a top-five MVP guy for at least 2 or 3 years before we got him. He had 1 year with us where I know he was killing it. I mean, he only had 2 years, I think, with the Sox, but he was at the Machado or Harper level at that time of a guy that, oh my God, we got him. Like, it's him and Thomas. It's going to be unstoppable. Obviously, didn't work out like that, but that one popped out to me as just like a massive name that we got.
I'll let you go. Well, thank you. Thank you. Here's the thing about Albert Bell. So I remember the 94 strike was so brutal. And Jerry Reinsdorf was right there front and center saying, it's too much money. It's all the salaries, all these contracts. It's just way too many salaries. And all of a sudden, here comes Albert Bell for $55 million. Signed by Reinsdorf from the White Sox. Reinsdorf, like one of the faces of the strike, saying that these salaries are out of control. How can we spend so much money? Here comes Albert Bell with the White Sox. It's kind of the same murmurs here in the winter meetings from Reinsdorf as well, talking about these salaries out of control. And they'll be surprised if it is like a 7 or 8 year deal worth a ton of money for Manny Machado. Wouldn't surprise me at all. That's the way Reinsdorf works. Murmurs, complains about the money, and all of a sudden spends the money. We'll see what happens. It's a good call. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000. Got something on the Bulls coming up in a few moments. Mark from Lake Forest on ESPN 1000. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Hood. What's up, bro? Couple of thoughts. First, Bo Jackson, I'm trying to track down whether he was traded or acquired on free agency. But you got to admit the hype around that brother was pretty awesome. I don't think anyone will top Hossa, but I will tell you this Machado idea. If you look at wins above replacement, which Carmen loves, and those facts, I don't know how you go to 62-100 and have a guy propel you with a 20 war.
All right.
and actually get you into even 500. I just think it's a fallacy. So couldn't find the Bo stats.
Bo Jackson's a good choice. It's funny you mentioned Bo Jackson because I was talking about him last night on the show. I was saying that it's a shame that we at ESPN 1000 or anywhere is not trying to embrace and trying to drag Bo Jackson out of whatever darkness he is here in Chicago suburbs. He's here, but he really should be celebrated even more so. I loved him as a White Sox because he brought national acclaim. The reason why I came up is because we were talking about what was going on with Kyler Murray and talking about him being a two-sport athlete, and so was Bo Jackson. And I said I'd love to have Bo Jackson be more of in the Chicago landscape when it comes to sports, because with the White Sox, it wasn't just him being a baseball player. The idea that people want to be around him, wear his gear, wear his shoes, it was huge. And it was great for the White Sox from a marketing standpoint. So it's funny you mentioned him because I was just talking about him last night. Bo Jackson was terrific with the Sox. Now, I don't remember, Felix. Did he come over via free agency?
Yes, he did. Kansas City Royals released him on March 18, 1991, before the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, and then later the White Sox claimed him on April 3rd.
Yeah, I love Bo Jackson with this White Sox team, absolutely. And he should be more around the White Sox as well because of how iconic he was as a ball player. So Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday right around the corner. Let me move on to a little something else here. And again, keep writing your thoughts on the Facebook wall, facebook.com. A lot of Albert Bell, a lot of Carlton Fisk. There's some Hossa there. There's Peppers. There's Lester. There's some Jermaine Dye love on the Facebook wall, facebook.com. So there's a lot of interesting names here. Continue to write them on the Facebook wall as far as free agents that you love in Chicago sports. But let me move on here to a little NBA. When it comes to the National Basketball Association, we're actually beyond the first half of the season. And so I looked at the power rankings at NBA.com. And, man, if you haven't been watching the first half of the NBA season, you've been missing some quality. For instance, on their power rankings, and it's not necessarily, you know, you live and die with them, but it's just it kind of accentuates who the best of the best is. The Toronto Raptors are the number one team in the NBA, according to NBA.com. Kawhi Leonard is having a terrific season. He played 45 minutes through a leg stiffness situation with the against the Washington Wizards. Pointing to Leonard's lack of assists, he's at 3.1 per game, but he's still an MVP candidate. 26 dimes over the past five games. That's the most he's ever had in a five-game stretch in his career. He's been terrific. The Milwaukee Bucks, if you have not made the trip to go check out the Milwaukee Bucks, you really should. Giannis Antetokounmpo is just off the chain. Giannis Antetokounmpo, his dominance on the inside has been tremendous. How about this for a stat? The Bucks were able to outscore the Jazz and the Rockets in the painted area, 138-60. Those two combined games there, Jazz and Rockets, 138-60 in the paint. Their dominance inside is more than just Antetokounmpo, who's still averaging the most points in the paint in the game at 17.5 in the last 16 years. Malcolm Brogdon, Eric Bledsoe, ranked 7th and 8th among guards. They love to get inside. You know, it's a three-point league, but they love to score on the inside. The Denver Nuggets are a surprise in the first half of the season. They ranked 28th defensively over the last 4 weeks, having allowed 113.4 points per 100 possessions. A very solid fundamental team. The Golden State Warriors have been great Obviously, four of their opponents in the seven-game stretch rank in the bottom 10 defensively, and the 10th-ranked Nuggets will be the highest-ranked defensive team that they're going to face since they lost to the Lakers on Christmas, but still solid team. 126 points per 100 possessions. The champs are the best. The San Antonio Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge just got off to a 56-point performance and a double overtime win against the Thunder, so Aldridge is really coming into his own. The Houston Rockets, you know, you can say what you want about James Harden. You can say whatever you want about him, but he has just been tremendous. The Rockets ranked third. The third-ranked offense can't always cover the 26th-ranked defense, but James Harden, he did come off a 1-for-17 performance from three-point range against Orlando on Sunday, but he has just been tremendous for the Houston Rockets. The Pacers have been solid as well. Pacers, the third best in the East, fourth best in the East. They've been very good. The Oklahoma City Thunder, the Portland Trail Blazers, some of these teams that you've seen the Bulls play, yeah, it shows you exactly where the Bulls are and then where some of these other upper echelon teams are in the NBA. So I'm having a fun time with that. We're going to have an NBA podcast, Chris Bleck and I, on the Under the Hood podcast that will be on Thursday. It'll drop on Thursday. I'll put it on my social media, twitter.com, tweetjhood, my Facebook wall, facebook.com, so you can check it in. We'll go through everything else that's going on in the first half of the season. Should be a lot of fun for us to review the first half of the year. And by the way, you want to know the angle with the Bulls when it comes to these top teams? The Bulls are also in the NBA. And there's your angle when it comes to the Bulls and those top teams. And quite frankly, the Windy City Bulls, for those of you in Hoffman Estates, if you're looking for the hottest pro team in the Chicagoland area, it's actually the Windy City Bulls. That team, and that's a team I cover because I do play-by-play on the radio side for them. that team is much, I won't say much better, but they're certainly playing at a higher clip and a lot more passion than G League team, the Windy City Bulls. You probably will go check them out. They're pretty good, the Windy City Bulls out of Hoffman Estates at the Sears Center. I've seen what, 10 or 12 of their games, called their games. Man, they're pretty good. There's passion there, something that you don't get on the West Side. All right, we got some Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday right around the corner for you. If you're a wrestling fan, I got some for you coming up next with KC Joyner from ESPN.com. That is coming up next.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
What? Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first event of the evening is a one-fall match with a 15-minute time limit.
There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit, and that's the bottom line. Stone Cold said so.
Tuesday.
We are what wrestling's all about. New York City here. Chicago here. Jamie on my left. Linda on my right. But I'm not telling any of the girls who I'm going to give it to in Chicago until that night. Woo!
Tuesday, Wrestling. Tuesday returns to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. So glad that you're with us. Every Tuesday when there's news, we give you Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday on the Under the Hood show. KC Joyner is with us here. He writes for ESPN.com, the WWE column. Just go there, go to ESPN.com, look for WWE, and that's where you can find KC's columns, and he joins me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. KC, as always, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, great to be here.
Let me ask you this, KC. Give me your thoughts about the landscape of professional wrestling in 2019. What are you looking forward to the most here this year?
There's so much talent out there right now. There's the volume of talent. It used to be back in the day, going back to the territory days. I mean, I date myself a little bit there, but you go back to the territory days, you had 19, 20 territories in the United States that are developing talent. You would have talent in Mexico. You had talent in some in Europe. You had a lot in Japan. I mean, a lot of places that were developing talent. And for a time after the close of WCW and all the territories closed down, you didn't have as much talent development going on. Some, but not quite as much now. With all the independent scenes that are out there, with as much as WB is doing, with just so many different places to develop talent, the volume of quality talent out there right now might be as high as it ever was during the territory days.
So, looking at the WWE, we know that it's the lead dog right now, and I think that there's two WWEs in a lot of ways. You and I have talked about Raw and SmackDown and how Vince McMahon runs business, and Triple H on the other side with his NXT and NXT UK, which has just been tremendous. I just saw their special they had from Blackpool, England over the weekend, which is tremendous. What do we think of where the WWE is headed? Because with all the talent that you talked about, the WWE still is the lead dog, but do you see improvement? Is there things they can work on?
I think what they're looking for, if I had to just, you know, based on interviews I've done and based on just a number of things I've looked at and things, I think what the WWE is looking for is once they're convinced that they can get the same kind of reaction from the general audience out of NXT-style programming and NXT-style booking that they do at the NXT level, they would be willing to do that. But I think their concern is that there are things that happen and things that you could do at the NXT level that you put some of those wrestlers on the main roster, and until the main audience gets to know them in the same way, that they just don't know that that's going to be the way that, you know, that's going to be the way that they go. It's kind of depressing, though, because I went to the Mae Young Classic a few months ago, and I've been watching wrestling since 1976. I mean, again, dating myself, but I've been watching wrestling now for almost 43 years. That was one of the best live shows I've ever been to. And the idea that you couldn't translate that to a larger audience, I don't agree with that premise, but I think that's the way the WWE thinks. They want to see that it's going to work at a bigger level before they do it, because they've got a lot of faith in them, what they've done for years, and you can understandably know why.
Do you think that the WWE, especially with Raw and SmackDown, do you equate those rosters to, say, the WWE in 88, 89? And here's what I mean. You remember during those Crockett years and the end pretty much of the AWA, where Vince McMahon was getting all the talent from Vern in Minneapolis and just going through all the territories, just adding talent. But the problem is, even back then, is that everybody couldn't get over. And the same thing here in 2019, where they're stockpiling talent, and it's terrific talent. But there's so many wrestlers, KC, that are just lost in the sauce. Do you see a parallel in that you have an abundance of talent, but yet you can't get everybody over, or they can't get over?
They could get over. If you stop 50-50 booking, they could get over. If you make wins and losses matter, they could get over. If you said that we're going to, because I think they need, you know, I think they want the best of both worlds. Vince McMahon years ago, as I understand it, he decided that he didn't want it to be about the wrestlers being the draw. He wanted the promotion to be the draw. So when the WWE comes to town, you're just going to come see the WWE. You're not coming to see Hulk Hogan of the WWE. You're coming to see the WWE. And so he doesn't want talents to get too big, doesn't want their personality, you know, don't want to get too popular. So when they start to get a wrestler over to a certain point, they cap it off and say, we're not going to let you get over more than your push. And the wrestlers occasionally are able to do that. You see that with Becky Lynch now. You saw that with some other wrestlers over the years, CM Punk and things. You've seen it happen sometimes, but generally speaking, it's really tough to do that. But I think if WWE decided we want to book talents to get over as big as possible, we want to get a Roman Reigns over, which they've done, but if you wanted to get other talents over like him, we're going to book these people in a way that will get them over, they'll get over. But if you keep booking 50-50 booking and don't push them to get over, they're not going to get over, except in rare cases.
KC Joyner covers professional wrestling and the WWE for ESPN.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. KC, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to find out your thoughts about All Elite Wrestling, because I know you were there in Jacksonville last Tuesday for the press conference. I just want to get your thoughts, because I know you got a good column about this. So we'll talk to KC Joyner after SportsCenter more about All Elite Wrestling. How important is All Elite Wrestling for 2019? We talk about it next, right here for Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday on Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Blast deep into the night. And a two-run homer for Pius.
We're getting a 13-yard gain here on fourth down. And right now, not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42?
Jacoby chased and dropped at the 15-yard line. Roquan, the chef, Smith.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaren hits our tail. One, two. He did it. He did it. Steamboat's got him up. McClaren has done it. McClaren has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Glad that you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. John the Hood with you. Short show tonight. We're with you until 7:40. Then we've got college basketball right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our guest, Casey Joyner from ESPN.com. You'll go to the WWE section of ESPN.com. That's where you can find Casey's columns. We were talking before the break, Casey, about professional wrestling, especially with All Elite Wrestling. You were at the press conference in Jacksonville. I saw it on my iPad. How was it in person?
In person, it was impressive because you had to figure that press conference was called only a short time. I think it was less than a week before they actually had the press conference. They said, okay, we're going to be doing this. And there were had to be at least 500 people. I know that the people there were telling us they had AEW hand towels. They had, you know, you can weigh the towels in the air. So they had 1,000 of them. They handed them all out. And not everybody, you know, occasionally people grab two or something, but usually you'd get one per. So it could have been anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people. They were very fired up. Crowd was very enthusiastic. They were all familiar with all the talents that were out there. They knew, and not just the main talents, but they were familiar with everybody. And the most interesting part, I thought, is that they said at the press conference, they said at the event when they were doing the pitch to say this is a fan-centric organization, we're really going to be fan-centric. They had, after the event, all the wrestlers were at a table where they had AEW posters and things that they could sign. You could bring your own stuff up there. And they stayed there. It took over 2 hours to get everybody through the line because they stayed there till the last person in line got an autograph signed for. They didn't say, we're going to do this for an hour, and if you don't make it through, too bad. They stayed there for everybody. So they've got a real fan-centric approach, and I think it's going to be really popular.
Okay, so when you initially found out that Chris Jericho, a longtime WWE wrestler, and just came off the tour and the championship run with New Japan Pro Wrestling, with him signing with AEW, what was your initial reaction?
Initial reaction was in fact, I was talking to, I've got an article out did an interview with Cody regarding a number of things about AEW. He's Cody Rhodes. He goes by Cody, but he's Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes' son, and he was with the WWE for a long time, obviously. And I asked him about Jericho, and he said that the thing about Jericho is that Jericho can serve as somebody who can use the wrestling parlance, can give somebody, they call him give it the rub, which means that you're a top talent, and you can put somebody else over to say, okay, we want to make this star. We want to make Hangman Page. He didn't use Hangman Page. I'm just using this as an example. But we can want to get Hangman Page and get him to a next tier up. So you go out there and you have a great match with Jericho, and he puts you over. Now, he said Jericho's going to be very, very he's not going to do that for everybody. He's going to be very careful about, you know, how often he does that sort of thing. But to have somebody of that caliber, to see somebody who could go out there of one of your top talents, have a great match, have a memorable match, a match that goes viral and gets people to talking and saying, showcasing, this is our young talent and how good they are, I think it's an invaluable resource for them to have.
I want you to delve in a little bit more because I can't wait for everyone to read the article again. ESPN.com is where you find the WWE section. Could you tell us a little bit more of the conversation you had with Cody Rhodes? Because I want this to succeed. I know his dad tried the same thing with Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if that really got off the ground, but his dad tried to do the same thing after his run with WCW. Can you give us a little bit more of that conversation you had with Cody?
It's interesting. We talked a little bit about his dad because I told him when we started off the conversation, I said, yeah, I remember watching Dusty Rhodes back at the Eddie Graham Sports Complex here in Orlando, which was a tin shack that maybe held 1,000 people and things. But it was, you know, they did events here. And He said that there were things that his dad did that he learned from, both positive and negative. He learned about things that he could do that would work, and things that he would do that maybe wouldn't work as much. And I think that a lot of what they're looking at is they've said. They said to the event, and we talked about it a bit in the interview too, that wins are going to matter. That they want the in-ring action to matter. They want all this to, if you're going to invest all your time and effort as a fan to watch all this, they want the in-ring stuff to really matter. They're thinking about different ways they can do that and make that work. He's talked about I'll use the phrase, the Hollywood approach to how talent is approached. He said that that wrestling promoters, for the years generally speaking, haven't treated talent that well, and that they want to be a promotion that does treat their talent well, because they've said multiple times that happy wrestlers equal happy fans, because if the wrestlers are out there and they're happy and they're doing their job well, then that's going to be for happy fans. So I think it'll be a very wrestler-centric promotion. I think it'll be a very fan-centric promotion. And I think it's going to change some of the paradigm, not just because there's another company out there bidding for talent, because the way they are going about it, and if they go about it in a different way than the WWE and it works, it could shake up the whole wrestling world.
Hey, you know what my concern is, Casey, is the Khan family is obviously fronting the money. The Khan family, the owners of the Shad Khan is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just want to know how much does Tony Khan have a say in this? Because as you well know, in the history of this business, the business runs well when there's one voice. Even WCW didn't work because, as you listen to Eric Bischoff's podcast every week, you come to find out that he wasn't into the booking. He was into the business side, and there was so many cooks in the kitchen, whether it's Kevin Sullivan here or Hulk Hogan or Kevin Nash there, this championship committee, all this kind of nonsense. So you got to have one voice. It's got to be one boss. Who's the boss at AEW?
I essentially asked Cody that question in a different way, because he's got an executive vice president role, and so do the Young Bucks. Matt and Nick, they both have executive vice president roles. And I asked him whether there's some of the specifics of his executive vice president role. And he's executive vice president of talent, and he negotiates contracts, and he's in charge of creative too. So he has the creative control. They're still so early on, they don't know if they're going to be weekly, quarterly, how it's going to work out. So it's hard to say where creative and how they're going to do creative specifically, because they don't know. Again, they still have a lot of things they need to work out. But it sounds like that Cody's going to be in charge of that sort of thing, because I mentioned to him that in wrestling history, when you've got a quote-unquote wins matter promotion, a promotion that says, hey, wins are really, really a big deal, you've got that some today in New Japan, and you had that back in the day with Sam Muchnick, that when wins matter, you need to make sure you have somebody who's controlling that very specifically and very stringently to say, hey, this is how the wins matter is going to go. You can't just keep going. You can't change your plans every week or two. You've got to say, this is how I want this to play out. So he did say that he's going to be in charge of creative, it sounds like. With him and Nick and Matt are going to be working on that together, but I think it sounds like Cody's got the final say-so. But also when it comes to Tony, he said Tony is, he referenced many times about Tony's business expertise. So there are things about running a business in the business world that Tony's able to show him. And he said that he was going to, he said he'd show Tony, I can show you things about how to run the wrestling business, and you show me how to run business in general, and they can work off each other. So it does sound like that the Khans are going to let the wrestlers, or web people, what they say in football, coaches coach, players play, scout, and that's when it works best. I think that's how this is going to work for the AEW.
Is there a hint of television? Because talent and television is something that Vince McMahon, that's his whole credo, is like, if you've got TV and a good television contract and you've got talent, you can be able to go places in the business. Does it sound like they have something in place, Casey?
Oh, multiple people ask. We've asked everybody there. We asked Cody multiple times. I did, and we had a scrum interview with like six people interviewing Cody at once at the press conference. We all ask him variations of that question. I asked Tony Khan that question, and they're just not a place where they can say anything just yet. Obviously, they're pursuing TV contracts, but they're not in a position where they're able to confirm anything of that nature yet. I would be, based on listening to a podcast, like I listened to the Meltzer podcast, and based on the reactions that I've seen when we ask them these questions, it doesn't look like, I don't think it's a, we don't think we're going to get TV, it's just which TV we're going to get and how it's going to pan out. So I'd be shocked if they don't have TV, because I asked them about their the revenue streams they're going to have too, and it sounded like that they plan on TV being one of the primary revenue streams, and one of multiples that they're going to have, but they're going to need multiple revenue streams to be able to keep up with this talent. And by the way, though, it has been reported, I'm not reporting this, but I've read where it's reported, that the Cons are going to invest as much as $100 million into the organization. I don't know if that's true or not. Sounds like a big figure, but even if you said it was half of that, it means that AEW is going to be well-funded, and they're not going to have to worry about that sort of thing for a time, which is a big plus to getting talent signed and to being able to build a fan base without having to necessarily turn a profit. You can take your time doing it.
Well, the one thing that I know that you're excited about this new venture with the AEW and what it could be. You're also excited about the women's revolution as well. It's in the WWE, that's the thing that's the most over. And by the way, the most thing I'm excited most about is NXT, whether it's UK or here in the United States. I think that Triple H did a great job. I know you had a conversation with Triple H about the women revolution in the WWE and NXT. What are your memories of that conversation, that column that you wrote? Does that give you pause to say, hey, you know what? Triple H knows what he's doing.
Oh, I know he knows what he's doing. And the funny thing is, when we walked out of the as soon as I started walking with him over to, I've met him outside the event, and we're going to go over to a little area to sit down to talk. And he said, what'd you think of the Mae Young Classic? I mean, what'd you think of it? And I said, I thought it was great. I said, it was like, it reminded me of old school wrestling. And he started telling me that it was a combination of old school and new school. He said, they did things like wrist manipulations. And he said that he would show some of the guys over in England, he would show them the wrist manipulations. And we watched back in the day, they were big back in the 70s and 80s and such, and got passe for a time. But now, because people haven't seen it for 20 years, it's like it's a brand new thing. So he says they're able to take those old school elements, dovetail them with these new school elements, and do some fantastic storytelling. And that was one of the big things that he said in the interview, though, was that he said if he was somebody on the main roster, he said if I was one of the he doesn't mean just the ladies on the main roster, he said if I was one of the guys on the main roster and I saw this show here, I'd be worried about my job, because these ladies have stepped the game up. And honestly, it didn't sound like hyperbole. And if you were at the event, when you're at the event, you could see the type of passion and enthusiasm. In fact, when I was interviewing him, about 20 minutes, about 10 minutes in, I could see him looking over my shoulder. I couldn't tell what he was doing. I'm looking straight in the eye, and he's looking, somebody's coming up. And then it's Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels came up, and it was about maybe a 15-second interaction between the two. But Shawn Michaels came up, gave him a little hug, and said, he said, I want you to tell those ladies that is the most fantastic thing I've ever seen. He said, it was just terrific. He said, it just blew my socks off. Something along those lines. Then he left. It wasn't for me, because Shawn Michaels didn't even know I was there. He had no idea I'm recording the interview and things of that nature. This was just an off-the-cuff moment. And if you've got Triple H being as excited as he was, and you've got Shawn Michaels saying it's that good, and that's an off-the-cuff moment with him, I look at that and say, that's how exciting wrestling these ladies can do. And if you can take any of that and bring that to the main roster, both just on Raw and SmackDown, and for WrestleMania, because there's a good chance that you're going to have an all-women's main event in WrestleMania, that you might have Becky and Charlotte and Ronda, you may have that. You start adding all that together, and I think that you could be seeing a big paradigm shift. And by the way, AEW says they're going to be signing female talent too, and in fact, they already have, and that they're going to pay the female talent as much as they pay the male talent.
This is interesting. It's a very interesting time to be a wrestling fan. And again, we ask you to go to ESPN.com, look for Casey Joyner's WWE/wrestling column. A great conversation with All Elite Wrestling, Cody Rhodes, one of the vice presidents of All Elite Wrestling. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Well, you're busy, my friend. Little NFL and wrestling. It's a fun time to be a sports fan.
It's a great time to be a sports fan, and I really think that AEW, I'm not just saying this because I don't have any skin in this game or anything of that nature. I don't get anything out of it, but I'm looking at what they're doing, and they're listening, because fans are excited about wrestling, but they're also frustrated with some of the things that are happening in the wrestling world, and they don't feel like their voice is being heard. I'm advocating as for a general fan, I think a lot of times they think what they want isn't what they're being given, and AEW has made it very clear that we're going to give the fans exactly what they want. If they tell us they want this, we're going to give it to them, and that's something that could really shake up a business that probably is in need of shaking up right now.
My friend, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on the show, as always.
Appreciate it.
is KC Joyner. Again, go to the WWE column. That's where you can find KC Joyner in that column. And that conversation he had with Cody Rhodes should be interesting. All Elite Wrestling. It's going to be definitely heard from a lot in 2019. Time for Tales from the Hood.
I go work like a doctor when I rock the mic. You got to like
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Our show's all over the place today because we have a short show, 6 to 7:40, right into Notre Dame basketball right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hope that you have enjoyed your day. Hope you enjoy your evening as we're with you until 7:40 here on ESPN 1000. I told you this yesterday. Don't look surprised. I told you. 7:40. Told you this yesterday. Gotta listen to me. I'm telling you. You think I would just want to leave you? Well, dinner is on the table, by God. Tales from the Hood usually airs at 8:30, but we decided to do it here at 7:21. And it's brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. The new Welsh Ryan Arena is up and running. Great place to watch a basketball game. They host Wisconsin and Minnesota in the upcoming game. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. A reminder, tomorrow we have NBA, so no show tomorrow. No UTH show tomorrow. We're back Thursday. Of course, if it's going to be Thursday, 7 to 10, that means it's... not just a Thursday. It's a throwback Thursday, 7 to 10 on Thursday. So no show tomorrow. Don't look for me. But look for me Thursday, 7 to 10, right here on ESPN 1000. 7 o'clock tomorrow, I will be putting on a purple robe, putting on a crown on my head, and call myself Crown Royal. All right. Let's take a look at the stories of sports, entertainment, and everything else in between. By the way, our first story here is relating to Tom Brady. With 13 conference championships in his 17 completed seasons as a starting quarterback, Tom Brady is more likely to reach the conference championship than LeBron James or Luka Doncic are to hit a free throw this season. Is that what?
Like, their free throw percentage is lower than the percentage of Tom Brady making the championship game.
LeBron's at 68%, Doncic at 73%.
It's crazy.
The World Series champion Red Sox were to win a game at home in 2018. Tom Brady is more likely to reach the conference championship than any qualified quarterback in NFL history was to complete a pass in any season. Drew Brees set a record with 74% completions this season. Tom Brady is more likely to reach a conference championship than the average NFL pass 5 yards down the field or fewer was completed this year, 73%. Tom Brady is more likely to reach the conference championship than Zion Williamson is to score in the paint. 74% in the paint area for Zion Williamson.
That's insane. Oh. It must be nice to be a Pats fan.
So that's why if you're at the barbershop and they're talking about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if someone tells you anything besides Tom Brady, hit them in the mouth. Just telling you. And I grew up with Elway in Montana. So, and I know what greatness looks like. Yeah, Tom Brady is the greatest to ever play that position.
That statistical comparison's just really put it in perspective on how consistent he's been for almost two decades now.
Tom Brady is more likely to reach the conference championship than LeBron James or Luka Doncic are to hit a free throw this season.
That's absolutely insane.
Oh, no. Another spill on another highway.
The saga continues.
Those are the best stories.
Flagstaff, Arizona. Authorities in northern Arizona had a sweet hot mess on their hands, if you'll pardon the expression. A sweet hot mess on their hands after a tank trucker's trailer detached from the truck and rolled on its side on slick pavement, spilling a river of liquid chocolate, if you'll pardon the expression, onto the westbound lanes of Interstate 40. The Arizona Daily Sun reports the wreck Monday was about 11 miles east of Flagstaff, require cleanup crews to pour most of the 40,000 gallons of chocolate into the highway median to lighten the damaged tanker so it could be towed away. The chocolate was liquid, pardon the expression, because it was being stored in the tanker at 120 degrees. Oh, my God. That might be the worst of them all. How are you going to get all that chocolate off of the highway?
I love that their answer was, well, this tanker's really heavy, so let's just dump out the chocolate on the road. Let's just do that. That's the answer.
That would be my answer. That's unbelievable. Every time we do Under the Hood and Tales from the Hood, we always have that story of some sort. Tacos, ice cream, chocolate.
I think it was chicken fingers last week.
Chicken fingers were just last week. Unbelievable. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Facebook officials are stepping up efforts to crack down on illegitimate pages, but the creator of a nonprofit in the Milwaukee area said that they've gone too far. Christian Fuhrer helps poodles across the country find homes. She started a nonprofit called OPCA Shelter Network. She has a whole book of success stories. She was not able to walk. She was dragging herself. And now, as you can see, she's really flying. She's talking about the dog, of course.
Naturally, right. The poodle.
Had to specify.
You never know.
Fuhrer primarily uses Facebook to fundraise and advertise. It's just pretty much our whole presence on social media. She said she received a message on Sunday night indicating that the Facebook page had been taken down. A few posts had a picture reading "no image available" had been flagged for nudity and sexual activity. In the rescue community, they're having a good laugh about it. You know, the nude poodles, that sort of thing, said Fuhrer. It shut us down. Before being unpublished, the page had 17,000 followers. Naked poodles. That's the reason why Facebook shut it down. What are you doing,
exactly,
Zuckerberg?
They flagged her because of undressed poodles. You should be taken down for dressing up your poodle, not having a dog picture up there.
I don't even understand what that means. What do you mean, naked poodles?
They just somehow got nudity out of these. Maybe one of them was previously a mother, so a lot of nipples. I don't know what to tell you.
Eric. Naked poodles. So ridiculous, man. What does that mean? All these dogs should have something to put on. They should have shirts and pants on.
Little Jordans on their feet.
Zuckerberg, you jerk. What are you doing? What are you doing? There's so many other things. There's so much more ratchet activity on Facebook you should actually be going after.
Absolutely.
Instead of this nonsense.
So strange.
Felix Reyes.
All right, guys. Yep. Breaking news. B.J. Upton, what? Formerly known as Melvin Upton Jr., formerly known as B.J. Upton, announces he would now officially be known as B.J. Upton. So he went from B.J. Upton to Melvin Upton Jr. to B.J. Upton all over again after making a big old deal out of it. So the first thing that came to my mind when I read this and I saw this earlier today, I started thinking about all the players that came into the league with a name and had it changed because they didn't use their original name.
Yes.
So some of the list, one of the big ones who's currently still playing in the MLB, Giancarlo Stanton. I don't know if you guys remember when he was back early in the days with the Marlins, he was known as Mike Stanton.
Yes.
Kendry, this was a new one for me. I actually didn't know this. Kendrys with an S, Morales, was you know, his real name is Kendrys, and then was later identified as Kendry without the S. Edison Volquez is Edinson. So E-D-I-N-S-O-N. Poor guy. So he ended up changing it to be identified by the media and everybody here in the MLB as Edison. Albert Bell was another name as well.
Joey.
Was it really? I did not know that one.
We have
Joey Bell?
Yep.
Sounds way less intimidating.
That's why he hated it. Sox fans would call him Joey and he wanted to fight somebody.
Yeah. Bell made his debut in 1989 as Joey, but after attending a treatment center for alcoholism, he started going by Albert as his given name. He explained the name change in a 1991 interview with ESPN's Up Close. Jose Uribe Jose Uribe made the majors in 1984 under his real name, which was Jose Gonzalez.
Yes.
That was a different one. And then,
changing your last name, huh?
Guillermo Hernandez. Do you remember him? Guillermo Hernandez was a Puerto Rican native who reached the big league as Willie Hernandez.
Willie Hernandez was a hell of a player.
Yes. Willie Hernandez, now I know.
Willie Hernandez, I do know. Guillermo Hernandez, I didn't know.
Yes. Yeah, Willie's a hell of a lefty for the Cubs. He's very good. Very good. All right. Eric, go ahead.
The Bowen Show.
Oh. Netflix announced today that they are raising their prices from $11 a month now to $13 a month. It is said to help fund a lot of their original shows, and Netflix is reportedly in $14 billion of debt.
What?
So they are, because they've paid, like, the comedians, all these comedian stand-ups, they pay them a chunk of cash. Think about what they paid Sandra Bullock to do Bird Box. Like, they don't have this cash flying around. So they just took out a recent loan in October to help float the cash. So my question is how much is too much to get you to undownload Netflix?
That's a good question. Gosh.
15 plus?
I was going to say 20, 15, 20 bucks?
Man, 20 is already.
I think 20, that'll be enough.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's enough. I'll just get it from Amazon.
Yeah, right.
Or Crackle.
Yeah, I'll just find it on the black market.
Wait a minute. Huh? And that is Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Let me tell you about Illinois Media School, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School Lombard. In just 8 months, you can make a career out of broadcasting, whether it's radio, television, DJ, board operator, smooth operator, social media influencer. It's all there for Illinois Media School Lombard. Registration's open. Think about what you could be in broadcasting, behind the scenes or in front of the camera, or in front of the mic. It is Illinois Media School Lombard, 630-916-1700. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to Casey Joyner. Don't forget, no show on Wednesday. Back with you on Thursday, full show 7 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000. So we broadcast live from our First Midwest Bank studios.
It's the way banking is supposed to be.